Beloved hearers of God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I've been watching the Olympics. You know, I normally don't like to start sermons with anecdotes because the word of God doesn't need any preparation. It just needs to be launched into. But I am this morning, okay? Linda and I have been watching the Olympics. Any of you been watching the Olympics, by the way? Okay, well, a few of you. Yeah, it's kind of exciting to watch all the type A's at work, isn't it? I mean, talk about driven, you know. Good Lord. I mean, I think there have probably been times in my life when I had that kind of, passion for something. They've been very few and far between. But to have the kind of unbridled commitment to this excellence, it is kind of fun to watch. You know, I suppose that's part of what we find so exciting about it. Look at what they do. Of course, in the great sum of things, there's just a handful of them. I mean, we're just all a bunch of spectators, you know. We're kind of voyeurs watching all this great excellence when we haven't got a prayer of ever joining them. But that's part of the fun, too, being in the presence of all that. We watch Michael Phelps, who after kind of a rocky start, kind of woke up, I guess, one morning. He probably said, what am I doing here? And then he turned on the motor and got going. Pretty marvelous to watch that kind of performance, isn't it? See somebody who achieves those kinds of standards, who chases the clock and manages to come out with such success. So as I'm watching the Olympics this week, I'm thinking about this story in John where the people are coming after Jesus. Last week, you know, this story began with them scrambling all over the territory up there around the Sea of Galilee trying to find Jesus, dragging the sick and the lame and the busted up and the disheartened and the broken so that they could get within his space and he could do something for them. They ran from pillar to post. Remember that story? Dragging the sick and the lame everywhere? Must have been a real pain for those poor folks. And then, of course, they finally corral him there at the Sea of Galilee, several thousand of them. And the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000 is told where they all get lunch. And they're filled miraculously. And then now this morning, the story is picking up, and they have had a night to digest, and now they're hungry again. So they're back after Jesus. They're on the chase. And I thought to myself, you know, there's a lot of Christianity like that, chasing Jesus. A lot of religion like that. Maybe your Christian life has looked like that at times. Maybe it does now, where Jesus is just kind of always out of reach. You never quite get there, you know. You line up at the starting block and the gun goes off and you're just hell-bent down the track, but Jesus is always a few points ahead of you, 0.02 seconds just beyond your grasp. And so you're driven back to whatever trainer you've got, aka pastor, Bible teacher, or some other enlightened guru who knows how to apply the principles and get you all revved up again, pumping those spiritual muscles, and you get back out there and you chase after him again. Have you noticed this happening in your life or somebody else's? The Christian life is always this kind of quest to get there. You know, I even thought of bringing the ladder in here this morning. Probably will one Sunday. Great big ladder over here in the storage room. Set it right up here on the beam. And here's your Christian life. Get busy. You know, or maybe get some weights up here, you know. We can all take turns pumping our muscles. Maybe get a great big bar with a few Bibles on each end, you know, and just kind of work it, see. Chasing Jesus. That's what we see in John 6 here. Thousands of people chasing Jesus. Chasing, well, not really chasing Jesus, chasing what they think Jesus is about, what they think he's offering. The water gets a little deeper now. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, what are we chasing? What are you chasing? I mean, I know you're chasing something. That's the way life works. I think that's probably why the Olympics and other sporting events are so tremendously important and popular and have been for thousands of years. There's a kind of metaphor there for all of us. This is us. We're all on the scramble. We're all on the blocks, waiting for the gun, and off we go for whatever tape we're trying to break. A few years ago, Linda and I were in Olympia, Greece. Some of you have been there. And of course, there is the original track. The starting blocks are there in the ground, marble blocks, and the seating, some of that's left. And you can imagine these warriors, you know, running around, testing themselves against one another. And of course, it was a great popular event, had deep religious significance, like our own sporting events do today. I mean, you talk about a contemporary religion. Don't look at churches on Sunday morning. Look at the NFL. Pick your sport. There we see the call to chase, to surge, to drive, to achieve, to make something of ourselves. Lived out before us by those who have achieved certain amount of excellence in all these different areas of life. And I confess, you know, I like to watch some of this stuff. I enjoy it. I used to play a few sports when I was young, and now I like soccer. I know it's very un-American, but I like it anyway. You know? My son and I have been up to the Galaxy games a few times, and, you know, like to watch Beckham, make them all look silly. It's fun. I enjoy watching. And you enjoy your sports, too, I'm sure, of various kinds. But, you know, when you start thinking about chasing, and life is this kind of sprint toward what? Then you start to ask, well, is what we're after worth the effort? You know, you hate to become kind of a cliche with the way you invest yourself. I mean, how many times have we heard of people who have, you know, given themselves to all kinds of things that aren't worth the effort? You know, like money, for example. I mean, there's one that's necessary. I mean, you know, we got to have it. It's how the world's structured. But, you know, to give heart, soul, mind, and strength to make a buck, come on, get real. Or relationships, you know, for some people, that's everything. Intimate, sentimental, personal, deep relationships. That's the culmination, that's the goal of life. Well, you have to give credit to the guys and the gals here in John 6. They weren't being so cautious. They weren't being quite so finessed about it. They just wanted something to eat. They wanted their bellies full. And that gets us right down sort of to the basics, you know. Let's chase Jesus to get our bellies full. He'll give us what we need, what we think we need, what we want. And of course, Jesus takes a look at this whole thing and he sizes them up, and which wasn't too difficult. And he says, I know why you're back. You're always in this game. You're always chasing your appetites. That's what you do. And now you think I'm the latest chef who's come along with the right recipes and the great menu that's going to fill you up. I'm the next big thing. Well, they kind of got it. And so they say, well, what do we do? I mean, you know, okay, you got us back thinking about God, but what is it about God that we're supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And then, of course, John, in this story, now he's got him. He's got us right where he wants us. Believe in Jesus. You want to do God's work? Which, after all, ought to be the question on every human's mind, every generation, because, after all, God is the center and the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the center of life, in whom and through whom we have our being. It ought to be the question that's on our minds. And so Jesus says, well, here's an answer for you. Believe in me. How do you like that? I'm the bread of life. You don't live by bread alone, but by every word that pours out of the mouth of God. And all those words were incarnated in Jesus. He is the Word of God. We don't chase God for what we want. We follow God for who He is. We don't chase Jesus to get what we want. We follow Jesus because of who Jesus is. Well, I'm going to keep watching the Olympics. Although it's sort of the curse of theologians to think about these things when you're watching things like the Olympics. But I'm going to keep watching. I enjoy it. And I'm not going to take it that seriously, because after all, you really can't, you know, especially if you're not out there on the field or in the pool or wherever they might be. But I am grateful, you know, for this opportunity that's come around now every 4 years again to think about some of these things, you know. What does this really mean? I mean, that's an important thing for us as Christians to always be tuned into. What does it mean? Meaning is important. It may not be important to a lot of other people out there, but to us, meaning ought to matter, you know. And of course, one thing the Olympics mean is that the vast, 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 vast majority of us never get there. Never will. You know, we just sort of spectators on the sideline, chasing whatever dream we may have, or maybe we've given up, or maybe we've just slowed down, don't really expect much, but we at least are trudging along, you know. But then we may see here, in contrast, this picture of Jesus, who says, I don't want you chasing me. You don't have to chase me. You don't have to go up a ladder to God. Why did he come all the way down to the cross? So we could start climbing? You know, I saw a great cartoon in a magazine a few years ago, and Jesus was standing at the foot of a ladder. He had his arm on the cross, and there was this guy heading up, and he was looking up and saying, where are you going? I'm down here. We don't have to chase him. He's not out of reach. He's as near as your baptism. He's as near as the word that's on our lips and in our hearts. He's as near as the bread and the wine of the supper. He's as near as the love and the comfort and the consolation of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have to chase him. Save chasing for the track, for pursuing records, and for pursuing, you know, some of our life goals, and those are important too. But when it comes to God, you can rest, you know. I think one of the most beautiful little vignettes in this story in John 6, to conclude this morning, is when the Lord says to his disciples to have everybody just sit down. Just have them sit down. Take it easy. I'm here. I'm going to provide. So, yes, get caught up in the games if you must, and enjoy them, and, you know, run the race vicariously, and appreciate the excellence and all that's gone into it, and all the hoopla, and all the fun, and all the rest of it. But when it comes to God, just forget it. No chasing permitted. No chasing allowed. Just sit down. He's here to break the loaves, to pour the wine, and to provide for us who follow him, not chase him. Amen.